Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett, the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films are, and I think he picked them out for their sentence-making capacity and ability, Nina Wu, The Fever, and A Glitch in the Matrix. Did you?
Jill, they do. They add up to a little short story in themselves. Nina Wu had a fever.
No, that's not right.
It's in the Matrix.
There you go. Close.
I'm not sure. Anyway.
Not your job.
Not my job, right? I just review the things. I don't have to make sentences out of them. And actually, it's kind of interesting because these three movies, aside from the fact that their titles combined make an interesting little short story, have pretty much, well, let's say very little in common with each other. The first two are about forms of abuse, we might say. But aside from that, they're very different. And the third one is very different. But they're all currently out there and streaming, and people are looking at them, and they're getting, for the most part, very good reviews. So, you know, these are movies that many critics have certainly been very enthusiastic about, and I find them all of great interest, although not all of equal value. Let's begin with Nina Wu. And the first thing that's interesting about Nina Wu is where this movie hails from. It was directed by Midi Z, and it is a co-production from Taiwan, Malaysia, and Myanmar. And I don't think I have ever run across a movie hailing even partly from Myanmar. You know, this means where the resources to make it, the money and so forth to make it came from. But I don't think I've ever run across a movie from Myanmar or even partly from Myanmar, as this one is, being in any sort of distribution in the United States. And I've been in this game a long time. So that's just an interesting new sort of development. Aside from that sort of little accident of fate, Nina Wu is a very interesting movie. And I have to say, a very harrowing movie. After looking at it, I was checking out what some of the reviewers said. And as I said, it's gotten very, very enthusiastic reviews from quite a number of critics. I was a little surprised by this because it is such a harrowing and dark and gloomy film. My goodness. But it's also about something which is very much on people's minds nowadays, which is the Me Too movement, and particularly the Me Too movement as it applies to the movie business. When we think of famous figures like Harvey Weinstein and so many others who have crossed themselves up with misbehavior in this age when we are much more attuned to that sort of things when people were maybe a couple of decades ago and more. In any case, that is very much what Nina Wu is about. Nina Wu, the main character, is an actor, and she apparently is sort of a star on the internet. She's what they call nowadays, I guess, an influencer, and she sets up her little cell phone, and she does her little act on the internet, and she apparently has a lot of followers and all of that, but she also has an agent, and the agent and she are a little bit disappointed in where her career has been going because she's, by the way, this is in Taiwan. She's in Taiwan, in Taipei, and she's been there now for several years, and she's gotten almost no work acting, which is her chosen profession, almost none. And she's sort of almost ready to kind of give up on that. And then her agent comes along and says, well, here's a producer who really wants you to audition for this role. However, you should know in advance, the role calls for you to do, and this is a phrase that comes up a lot in the film, full frontal nudity. So that is our main character at the beginning of the movie. She is faced with this. And by the way, she apparently lives a fairly lonely life. She sort of is sort of eating her dumplings all by herself and doing her little internet thing all by herself. And so even though she apparently is known in the world of the internet, she lives a sort of a lonely life. And again, her career as an actor has been going pretty much nowhere. But now she has this chance. But is she going to do the full frontal nudity? And she decides, well, maybe I'll take a chance. And her agent, who is really understanding, don't do this if you really don't want to. Don't do this if you're going to be uncomfortable. On the other hand, he's sort of reminding her that, you know, if you're a real professional, you sometimes have to do things you don't want to do and so forth. So she decides she's going to take a chance on this. And much of the movie shows her acting in this movie. And a lot of this movie is her acting in scenes in the movie that she is making within the movie that we are watching. And very often, as the movie goes along, it becomes unclear at the beginning of a scene, at least, whether this is Nina Wu's own life or whether this is something happening in the movie that she is making within the movie that we are watching. We also get to know members of her family, and it turns out that her father has very strong mental health problems, is depressed, and eventually it starts to seem that maybe Nina Wu herself has serious mental health problems, and that maybe some of the confusions that we are feeling in the jumps between what's really happening in her life and what's happening in the movie that she is making may reflect confusions within her own mind. And in the meanwhile, her making of the movie within the movie, well, let's just say that she has to do more and more things that she's very uncomfortable with, some of which appear to be actually perhaps physically dangerous, such as a scene where she has to be floating around in water and we discover she doesn't really have the full accreditation as a diver to be able to do this sort of thing. And that's what the movie is about. I won't give any spoilers here except to say that, as I mentioned, the movie is gloomy and downbeat, and my gosh, it does not give you any hope at the end. But if you want a searing portrait of life for a female performer in the world of, in this case, Taiwanese movies during the Me Too era, then Nina Wu is the movie for you. It is very topical and very unsparing in its depiction of this young actor's career. And, well, I found it really quite riveting and quite fascinating, and I was very interested in its jumps between different planes of reality, as we might call them. But my gosh, at the end, I thought, oh boy, this is a very unhappy movie. But then again, I guess it's about a movie which in real life, excuse me, about a topic which in real life is pretty unhappy too. It is one of the more unsparing movies that I've ever seen that deals with anything related to the Me Too movement, even though the name of that movement does not surface in the film. Our second film for today, Jill, is called The Fever. And it is basically a Brazilian movie, again, a co-production, Brazil, France, Germany, but it's basically a Brazilian movie, takes place in Brazil in a city deep in the Brazilian rainforest, but it is very much a movie about a city, but the forest is all around, and it is spoken in Portuguese, although there is also a lot of use of a local indigenous language, and the movie very much deals with life in an area that was colonized and capitalized, turned into a great capitalist outpost a very long time ago, and it's very much about what life is like there now, and very much about the kind of conflicts between somebody who comes from an indigenous culture and retains strong ties to the indigenous culture, but who, again, lives in this modern city, has a job in this modern city, and there's just a kind of discomfort there because these two things, the indigenous culture, the earlier indigenous lifestyles, and the modern industrialized and capitalist lifestyle, they've never really meshed, they've never really joined, they've never become comfortable co-partners in the modern world, and that is very much what this movie is about, even as it focuses on one person whose name is Justino, and he is somewhere around in his middle 40s, and again, he came from the indigenous culture, but he's been living for a long time now in the city, in the Brazilian rainforest, and because his home is more or less out in the forest, he has to take a long commute every day to get to his work. He's had different jobs over the years. Now he's been for quite a long while a security guard. And my gosh, by the time he gets to work, he's exhausted. He's had these long bus rides to get there, and now he just got to stand around and do nothing all day long but remain alert at the same time. And sometimes he just sort of nods off and can't help falling asleep. And then he has to take buses again to get back to his little tiny home where he lives with his daughter, who is a young woman, and she works in the healthcare industry, and then the next day it's back on the buses and back off to work again. So he does not have a very happy life. His daughter, on the other hand, may have prospects. Again, she is a young woman, and she works at a clinic, and she has just been accepted into medical school. Now, that's a very nice thing for her, and Justino, our main character, is very happy about this. It's very exciting for her, for him, for his family. But if she does go off, that means he's going to be living all alone. His life will be even more sort of lonely than it is now, and he's not sure whether he feels very good about that. So that's basically what this movie is about. And what happens, we see little things that happen. Justino gets in trouble. He gets called to human resources because he's been falling asleep on the job. And they're very nice. And they want to know if there are problems in his life that they can help with. But they're also letting him know that if this kind of thing keeps up, he might find himself out of a job. He also has a new co-worker who is not, as he is, somebody from the indigenous culture, and who makes gentle little jokes, but they're little jokes which have just a teeny little tinge of racism to them, and this is another sort of unhappy thing. So we have all these small little unhappinesses in Justino's life, and also we have something else. There appears to be some kind of beast or creature or force or something which may or may not be stalking poor Justino, and there appear to be animals being killed in the area, and this is another thing which is going on, and it may be real, or it may be something that he is fantasizing in his unhappy life, or it may merely be symbolic on the part of the movie, and we never quite find out. The Fever as a movie is very, very oblique, very, very elliptical. It never says much of anything straight out. It shows us things very often ambiguous, ambivalent things that we have to make up our own minds about what they mean and whether they're even real. It's a very interesting meditation on the contrast or conflict even between life coming from an indigenous culture into the modern world, the industrialized world, and at the same time, though, it doesn't really have any lessons to teach us about that. It kind of invites us to think about it, to meditate on it, to contemplate it. It's a very interesting movie, a very, very low-key movie. You have to be really, you can't nod off like Justino does at work. You have to really be paying attention. I found it a rewarding film, although kind of a challenging film to watch in some ways, because again, it is so understated. Everything is suggested. But if you're ready for that kind of a film, you'll have a very interesting time. And again, it's a movie that certainly deals with very interesting issues in our modern world and does not preach lessons at us. It rather allows us to think about things and draw our own conclusions. Our final movie today, Jill, is very, very different. It's a documentary, A Glitch in the Matrix, which is made by Rodney Asher, who is a documentary specialist who is best known for a movie that came out almost 10 years ago called Room 237. Which is a movie, a documentary about all the wacky theories that people have come up with about the movie, the great Stanley Kubrick horror movie, The Shining. That's what Room 237 is about. It's named after a hotel room in The Shining. And it's a movie about all these people who have come up with all these loony ideas about what the secret hidden meanings that may or may not be in The Shining. So A Glitch in the Matrix is sort of a somewhat similar movie, although it deals with another movie-related topic, but a much grander topic. The topic that was explored most emphatically in The Matrix and The Matrix sequels. That's A Glitch in the Matrix. The title of this film, of course, refers to the Wachowskis film, The Matrix. And The Matrix was all about the big question of, are we all living in, is the entire world that we know nothing but a computer simulation? Is that all that it is? And that's where A Glitch in the Matrix takes off from, and it deals with people who explore this idea. Are we all living in a computer simulation? Is that what our world is? Is that what we are? Is everything that we are just the figments of some computer program somewhere? So that is what this movie takes seriously and explores in documentary fashion. And it has a lot of experts who speak and a lot of people with opinions on this who speak. I'll mention Philip K. Dick, who of course has been dead for quite a number of years, but shows up in some pretty extensive archival footage, talking about his as a very important novelist, a science fiction novelist and fantasy novelist, about his theories about all this, because he was one of the earlier pioneers in exploring this sort of existential question through his fiction and sometimes his nonfiction. And there are various other people. Now, it's not clear exactly how serious A Glitch in the Matrix wants to be as a philosophical exploration of this philosophical issue. For one thing, a lot of the people who appear, not all the people, but a lot of the people who appear on camera they're decked out as computer simulations themselves. Here they are, and they're apparently experts on all this, and they're being interviewed in this movie, and yet they look like science fiction creatures out of some fantastic special effects movie. So how serious is our film, A Glitch in the Matrix, when it presents most of its commentators in this sort of fantastical way? It's a good question. Also, a lot of the things they say, I think, are sort of idiotic, and I'm not really sure how serious obviously I want to take many of the theories that are put forth in the course of this movie. That said, it's an interesting topic, and I don't think it's necessarily an interesting topic to explore in a really serious philosophical way. I think there are other strands in the history of philosophy that are much more interesting and provocative to think about. In my own life, that's how it is. But I have to admit, there's a certain sort of appeal to this idea. Nowadays, we think in terms of computers, and it's possible that everything we know is simply the result of some master computer program somewhere being wielded by some godlike or perhaps monster-like creature. Who knows, and who can figure that out, and how interesting that is to think about. And A Glitch in the Matrix is a lively, visually very impressive. Some of these special effects are very impressive and very immersive, and I had a good time watching the movie. So it's a good movie to watch as spectacle. I'm not sure how good a movie it is. I will say I don't think it's all that good a movie on an actual philosophical level, but it's fun to think about these things for about an hour and a half, and I had a good time watching A Glitch in the Matrix, even though it didn't exactly get my thoughts churning in all kinds of new directions. So that is my somewhat jumping about from one thing to another story this week, Jill.
Thank you very much, David Sterrett. Films in Focus, the films Nina Wu, The Fever, and A Glitch in the Matrix.